Miracle at Redeemer House, Senior Version, Chapter 3, Just a Bunch of Big Fat Lies. Every girl in Redeemer House had a sad story in their background, whether delivered from another overcrowded orphanage, brought by a parent who could no longer feed them, or, as in Metty's case, rescued by Mama Addie as she was about to be hauled to a workhouse. They all shared the deep, painful loss of love. Mama Addie was keenly aware of their needs and never wavered from her commitment to love them and let that love do its powerful work of change. But Metty was becoming a challenge that required more than Addie had ever given. She couldn't do it without help. When Metty awoke from her nap, for a moment, she was confused. She remembered feeling a sense of satisfaction over the damage she had done in the room, but the room wasn't a mess. Was it a dream? Just then she heard that annoying, sweet voice of Addie, and it all came back. Before she had time to shout a hateful word, Addie smiled and said, "Hello, sleepyhead. Would you like to join us for potato soup and bread?" Had she not been so hungry, Metty would have blurted out a string of nasty remarks, but she held her tongue. Her survival instincts took over, and, along with her hunger, came the reminder of the plan she had devised to get back at Addie for treating her like a baby. She walked silently with Addie to the dinner table and took her newly assigned seat next to her. A large, steaming bowl of thick soup was set before each child, and the rolls were passed around, enough for every girl. Metty was the only one who noticed that Mama Addie had no roll. After dinner, all the girls pitched in with chores. It was required that every child do work in the house. "This is not a hotel, my dears," Mama Addie teased. "This is your home, the place where you belong as part of a family. First we work, then we can play." She began singing an old hymn, and the girls cheerfully joined in. "Can I help with the dishes?" asked Metty. Addie tried not to look utterly surprised at this, even though she felt like shouting for joy. "Of course. Would you like to wash or dry?"
"I'll wash," said Metty, as she forced a smile.
It was painful to keep up the act, but Metty did her best to chit-chat while she was carefully observing the placement of everything in the kitchen. After what seemed like hours, the last bowl was washed, and she opened the back door and tossed the dirty dishwater out, taking in the surroundings. The kitchen lamp was put out and the doors locked. The girls retired to their rooms for baths, then crowded into the study for evening devotions. Metty loathed this part of the day. To sit around and listen to Mama Addie babble on about God and love and kindness when they were surrounded by poverty and sickness and homelessness made her want to bolt through the door and return to the streets. It was just a bunch of big fat lies. If it weren't for the meals she was served every day, she would have been long gone. "And Lord," prayed Addie, "let us never think lightly of the riches of your kindness, for we all know that it is the kindness of God that leads us to admit the wrong we have done, so we can become your children, your much-loved children. Amen." Addie tucked each precious child into bed every night with a kiss and a reminder that nothing can ever separate them from the love of God. When she came to Metty, who always pretended to be asleep, she noticed tear stains on the pillowcase. "Much loved, much loved." Metty could not put the words out of her mind. She vaguely remembered them being spoken before, somewhere far away, or perhaps in a fairy tale, or maybe by some street preacher she had passed during her wanderings. But the way Mama Addie said them tonight stirred something inside her that she had not felt for a long time, and it frightened her.